Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Today's show is brought to you by Harry's. Please visit harrys.com and use the promo code Seahawks to save $5 off your first purchase. Welcome to the Seahawkers podcast, all 32 picks and IPAs. I'm Brandon Schultz, and joining me, as always, we got a full house back again this week. And first, I go to Jared Tim, Broncos fan.
Yeah.
Jared, welcome back.
I tried, pretty genuine over there.
I tried to say it with that sincerity thing.
No, you didn't. Yeah. You didn't even try.
I did.
The man you hear there is my co-host of the Seahawkers podcast, Adam Emmert.
I almost didn't show up to this episode of Picks out of shame. It was a bad week last week.
It was a bad week. We are coming off one of the crazier weeks in the NFL and in Picks. I'm surprised that a couple people scored as highly as they did, because that week, that was a disaster for everybody, and it just felt like a normal week for me, so I was cool.
Yeah, that felt just par for the course. You know what was crazy? I lost four games in Picks this week, or this last week, in overtime or in the last play of the game.
That's happened a lot this season. Where I've lost a bunch just right in the very last seconds.
That's how close it is. I mean, you're right there. You're thinking, oh, yeah. I mean, man, four more picks, and I've had myself a great week. You know? Nope. Marcus Mariota tears my heart out. Ben Roethlisberger tears my heart
out. Sam Bradford.
Oh, God. Yeah, Philly does, too.
And by the way, that wasn't Ben Roethlisberger. That was not Ben Roethlisberger that tore your heart out at the end of that game. That was Landry Jones.
It was Landry Jones. Whatever. Stupid Steelers as a whole. I don't care. That's a team. There's a couple teams that every season, like, everybody has a couple of those teams that you can't get right no matter what.
The Bills.
Like any given week. And the Steelers have been that for me this year, it seems like, man.
Though I don't know about the Steelers this week. Landry Jones came in and he proved all you got to do is just throw the ball up to
Antonio Brown.
Yeah, had like 17 catches or some crap like that.
Had more receiving yards.
And actually, a big part of Antonio Brown's yardage was when Ben was in the game. But throwing it to Brown, it definitely doesn't hurt when you're a quarterback.
For sure.
That's all I do.
We'll get more to the Steelers when we preview their game coming up here against the Browns. We're going to get into all the games this week, starting with Buffalo versus the Jets. But before we do that, I just was going to let you guys know what we're drinking today. Jared picked up the Groomer. It's called a Winter Marzen Lager. I don't know exactly what that means. And it's got the dots over the A, so there's probably a pronunciation there that I'm missing.
Marzen.
Marzen. Yeah.
I don't know.
Winter Marzen Lager.
I don't know what that means. Winter. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything other than Marzen, so we need a translator.
Yeah, that's what we need. But one of their winter brews, this might be one of my favorite winter brews. So we'll review that later in the pod. So let's get right into it, guys. My beloved Buffalo Bills taking on the New York Jets in the Meadowlands, the Rex Bowl. Brandon, who you got?
It is. It's Rex against his former team, and I don't see this going well for old Rexy. His head just doesn't seem to be into it this year. He's all over the place with his how he seems to be motivating the team, and you see that it's kind of an average Bills team, even though I think we had high expectations for the Bills, and the Jets have been sneaky good, and they're at home, got the 5-3 record, 73% user consensus, and I think you're going to see a lot of user consensus this week going with the home team. I'm sticking with the Jets.
I think I'm taking a different tune with this one. I like the fact that the Bills are healthy. Watkins is back. Shady's back.
T-Mobile.
T-Mobile, that's what
he's
call
back,
him.
Yeah.
He's there. I mean, I saw a pretty electric offense last week. So I'm taking the Bills. I kind of believe in them, and I think Rex is always all over the place.
This just bolsters my pick now, because you've been all over the map when it comes to Bills picks this year, Jared. I don't know if you picked them right once. So that confirms my belief that the Jets will win this game.
I'm happy to reassure you in your pick. Go
well,
Bills.
Jared, you really hit it on the head to me when it comes down to this team. It's not that Rex has been all over the map. It's that their health has been all over the map. Yeah. And Sammy Watkins, their first-round pick from last year, is a difference maker. That guy can flat-out ball. And the Jets, you know, in all honesty, they haven't played great over the last 3 weeks. I mean, dropping two out of three of those games against the Raiders and the Patriots.
Tough games, though. Those are two tough games.
Those are tough games, but they barely eked one out over the Jaguars in that stretch as well. So they haven't been all that impressive to me. I thought Buffalo looked pretty darn good last week. So I'm taking Sexy Rexy and his new girlfriend over top of his jilted lover he left behind, the New York Jets. Bills all the way.
Sammy Watkins can ball, guys. Sammy Watkins can ball, but why is he complaining about not getting the ball during weeks when he's not even on the field? That's crazy to me.
I agree, actually. I don't know what the heck that was all about. I actually just skimmed right over that because I didn't see that there was any point to be made there at all.
No.
Well, no, I mean, it doesn't make sense other than the fact that, you know, I guess he still wants the ball, and that's what you want out of your diva receiver. Isn't that how that goes?
I guess.
No. They're all,
get healthy and get on the field before you start crying about not getting the ball thrown your way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's not eligible on the sidelines. I know that much.
Right.
All right, moving on to our first game on Sunday here. Jacksonville, the Jaguars on the road against the putrid Baltimore Ravens. Jared, I think I texted you the term and I told Brandon about it. I want to introduce it instead of cooging it. Teams are jagging it when it comes to the NFL. And man, Jacksonville has been just jagging it for these last few games.
That is just like a Seahawks fan to want to steal a term from something else. I mean, I get that. You know, it's like making a play off the got milk thing. Everybody's got everything. You're
it's
making
a play
off the coop thing. You know, just like the Aggies had the 12th man thing. So I'm not surprised you want to go there and try to use that. But
okay.
I'm taking the Europe Jacksonville Jaguars.
Really?
I think Baltimore sucks that bad. And I think Bortles is actually, they're kind of taking the reins off him a little bit and kind of letting him do more with the football. And so I don't think it's going to be a high scoring game, and I don't feel good about the pick, but I'm going with Jacksonville.
So two consecutive road teams for Jared. How about you, Brandon? Are you going to go away from the home team here and go on the road with the kiddies?
I'm enjoying the show already because I know Jared's going to be 0-2 after two games. The Ravens aren't as bad of a team as I think we've been led to believe through the first few games of the season. They are at home, and they are against the Jaguars, which they can't seem to figure out a way to get a win. And if they can't seem to figure out a way to win at home, I don't expect them to get a win on the road either. I think a lot of the users agree, 73% going with the Ravens. I'm a little bit surprised it's that high, but I agree. I'm going Baltimore.
I am surprised it's that high. Now, you'd think that this would be a time, if you're a Jacksonville fan or a member of the team, you would be pretty excited about your prospects because Andrew Luck going down, that door to the AFC South title, that's wide open. I mean, they literally are in contention for that. Believe it or not.
Depends on what
six.
Matt Hasselbeck has to say about that.
Well, yeah, yeah. And the Matt Hasselbeck era has begun in full force in Indy, so that'll be fun. But, you know, they have kind of taken the reins off Bortles a little bit. But the thing is that I think he's still pressing. He's just trying a little too hard. He always makes that one mistake towards the end of the game that's just one too many for them to overcome. He's making some good plays too. I just don't think this is the season he's putting it together. I think he's still taking his lumps a little bit, but he's doing all right. I think he's going to put it together. Also, Baltimore, they get back a couple of their starting offensive linemen, and I think that's going to be huge for them. That's been a dumpster fire all year for them, so having a couple of starters back I think will make a big deal. I'm going to take the home team, Baltimore. All right, another AFC North team versus another AFC North team, apparently, here. Cleveland Browns on the road, taking on the Ben Roethlisberger-less Pittsburgh Steelers, apparently. Brandon, you saw Roethlisberger's foot bend in like seven directions, and yeah, he says it's just a sprain. Are you buying it? He says he might come back even for that.
I don't believe that if he comes back this week, he's not going to be effective. If he waits to come back against the Seahawks after the bye week for the Steelers, I don't think he's going to be very effective. I listened to Terrell Davis talking about Ben Roethlisberger and this particular injury, and when you saw his foot bend backwards in half, you knew that wasn't going to be a good injury. And I guess it's good for him that it's just a sprain, But that's going to be something that he's going to be dealing with for the rest of the season. And combine that with his MCL issue that I still don't buy that he's over. He didn't look right out there. The fact that he could just throw it to Antonio Brown at will this last game, that's what got the Steelers that win. And but I see them, whether it's Roethlisberger in there or whether it's Landry Jones, I see Pittsburgh being able to beat this Browns team. And user consensus 91%, and maybe people, are we going to see Johnny Manziel in this game against the Steelers?
No, McCown's starting.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a mistake. So, I mean, he might go out. Oh, well.
Yeah. I don't know which one of those two is better, to be honest with you, at this point. Manziel showed some promise last week, I thought, though.
We know who McCown is. We know who McCown is. Don't think we know what Manziel has, and I think that's something that has to be shown on the field. I know that some coaches think that through practice they're able to tell which quarterback gives them the better chance to win. But I see guys that may not practice well that are great when it comes game time. They're when the lights are on, that's when they are on. And I feel like Manziel's probably one of those guys.
Case Keenum was that guy.
Yeah.
For like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Couldn't practice worth a darn, but man, he came to play in a couple of those games.
Tim Tebow was that guy.
Right.
I mean, that's always been his story, is that never practices well, but is just a gamer. Obviously his coach hates him. I just thought Manziel, for as much as he's been panned for his second half play, I didn't really think he played all that poorly. His receivers didn't do him one favor.
They had a lot of drop balls.
Yeah.
That was a little frustrating on their end.
So, I don't know. So, what are you thinking, Jared? Because, I mean, it's going to be McCown.
Yeah.
And it's looking like Landry Jones.
Well, I'm with Brandon. If Roethlisberger does play, he's going to be ineffective. I mean, he was hobbling around last week. And if this foot injury has anything to do with any sort of Liz Frank connection, you've seen those injuries just hamper people for years. And sometimes they don't even come back from it, or it'll take the full season. So I don't see him coming back, because I think the rest of his season would completely be garbage if he tried to come back right now, especially with two lower body injuries. But even with Landry Jones there at home, Landry Jones came in the fourth quarter at some point. Mm-hmm. And he picked up right where Big Ben left off. He just threw the ball to Brown and said, hey, take it. So I think at home, they're still going to win this game, because Cleveland's just not going to win. They're just not good. And with their quarterback situation, they don't know who they want to play. I don't think their locker room is probably all that great at this point either.
Cleveland's bad at football. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. And look, I wonder about Ben in the foot thing. Like, I mean, you guys all saw Men in Black, right? Where the very first one where like the alien like takes over that one dude's body, like stuffs himself inside of the dude's like skin. I think that's what Ben Roethlisberger is. I think that's how he looks, because there's no way your foot bends like that and it's not shattered in 17 places and all the tendons are torn. Hey, that's a sprain? That's a sprain? I don't think so. He's an alien. But I don't know, man. Cleveland, they're just done. I think they don't like their coach as much as he doesn't like the players. For all the talent they have, even on the defensive side of the ball, especially in the secondary, they don't live up to it. Yeah. And I just like the home team when it's all said and done with this. I just think they're a better coached. They're a much tighter team. And even though they're missing Le'Veon Bell and Ben Roethlisberger, D'Angelo Williams has done
He's
an excellent
been playing
job.
Playing pretty well.
Yeah, filling in all season. And just throw it to Brown.
And one of the things that I see about Cleveland is, and this has been for years now, name me one guy who seems like a leader on that entire team.
Joe Thomas?
Sort of. He's not a vocal guy. I mean,
no,
that's probably the only option, but they haven't had one for years. And I think that's why they struggle, because they can't find it in the quarterback position. And then you go and you bring in a guy like Johnny Manziel, who's got a million questions about him. You add that to a locker room who doesn't have veteran leadership, you're not going to win games.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, you're in Cleveland, and God's not going to let it happen either. So, all right. So we all had Pitt there. So moving on here to the Chicago Bears, who came off a win last week against the San Diego Chargers, screwing me out of a pick. Thanks a lot. Taking on the St. Louis Rams at home. Jared, Wes Welker is back.
I saw that.
What do you think about this? Because you see a lot of different opinions on this.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he was losing a step that last year in Denver. Well, clearly he'd lost a step the year before, still put up good numbers. And then the last year we had him, he was pretty ineffective. And I don't think he's actually going to be a difference maker with St. Louis. I think he might have a good game or two because people don't know how to game plan for him in St. Louis just yet. But I think Todd Gurley's going to have a huge day against Chicago. And St. Louis at home, I think they're a good team. And from a wild card perspective, they have a chance to do some damage in the playoffs, I think, too. And I don't think Chicago has the caliber of players to even keep up with them at home.
Go Bears.
Take that damn
Go Bears.
Nice hat, Brandon. You just put on an awesome beanie here.
Well, ugliest thing I've seen all day.
Well, see, yeah. I'm kind of thinking that I need to go with this beanie because this is the beanie I won from beating you in picks last year.
I know.
And I kind of
still would look better on me, by the way, just so you know.
I'm doing it just for this game, Adam, because the reverse jinx on the Rams worked last week. We both picked them and they lost. And I'm going with them again. I'm going Rams, even though I'm intensely rooting for the Bears to win. But 87% of the users with the Rams, and I'm with them too, and hoping for the reverse jinx.
Brandon, I'm going to go with you on the reverse jinx as well, because, yeah, screw the Rams. But the one thing that does concern me for the Bears is that Todd Gurley is good. He's not the best running back in the league. Everybody can slow the roll. I'm already tired of hearing that already. He's played like five games. Let's give him some time. He's very good. Absolutely.
It's pretty exciting to watch.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't say he's the best, but I've heard that talk too, and it's annoying.
Yeah, it's a little early, people. Like, you know, if you...
Derek Carr's the best Raiders quarterback in history.
Right. You know, I mean, and Marcus Mariota's having the greatest rookie season ever. Like, I mean, come on. Everybody just relax. Like, I remember when Cam Newton came out and threw for 4,000 yards his rookie year. Nobody was saying he was better than Joe Montana or he was the best... You know, or better than Tom Brady, even, you know, in the best quarterback in the league that year. Like, people need to pump the brakes a little bit. But the Bears are 24th in the league when it comes to defending the run. I think Todd Gurley is going to have himself a big day. But my concern for Wes Welker is this concussion things, man. Like,
yeah, one more.
One more. I mean, I feel like he's already past that threshold. I mean, you heard Steve Young when he had like 6-7, and he was like, I could feel it. Like,
yeah.
It was messing up my deal. And I worry about the guy. But the thing is, where I come down on it, he's a grown-ass man. And if somebody's willing to give him the shot, if they don't mind the idea that they're going to get sued by his family in about 10 years, then so be it. Like, let him do it. I mean, he's a grown man. He can make that decision.
Well, and it's hard for these guys who are wired this way to step away from the game when they're not quite ready.
That's true.
Impossible for them. They basically have to get pushed out of the league. And I was watching this this special on concussions, and they actually think that with the NFL players, it's not necessarily the diagnosed concussions that are causing all these brain injuries and prolonged effects. It's the sub-concussions that they're getting, all these contacts where it's not a diagnosed concussion. But think of how many times there are these helmet-to-helmet contact throughout the game. You know, they're taking these brutal hits all the time, so they're not getting knocked out. Their brain's still getting rattled, and they think that's what is actually causing it. And the team who is actually ahead of this whole concussion thing is actually from the University of Montana.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Thanks, PBS.
Yeah. All right. Well, very cool. Very cool.
That's all I have.
All right. So let's see. That was St. Louis all the way around, correct? Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Now, moving on to a game that I actually found difficult to pick a little bit. The Miami Dolphins, and screw them, taking on the Philadelphia Eagles, Brandon. Philly looking a little frisky.
They're looking a little frisky. They pull out the late win this last week. And you kind of wonder about the Dolphins because they did have that two-game win streak. Then they got beat down by the Patriots. And now they're back to take on the Eagles. And I got to go Eagles here with them being the home team. If this were in Miami, I'd probably feel a little bit differently. User consensus, 77% with the Eagles. I don't feel good about it, but I'm going Philly.
Well, I'm going with Miami because Adam hates them.
Yeah.
And I would love to see them win this game.
And you know Adam's picking Eagles just because he hates the Dolphins.
I don't feel good about this pick because I really still don't know who either of these two teams are. Like Miami, like you said, Brandon, had that two-game win streak. And then they drop a couple, two of them pretty badly, actually. Mm-hmm. And then now they're up to Philadelphia, which who knows? I don't know how this will work out as a matchup standpoint. That's kind of the problem with me. Philly is at home, but... because of Adam, I'm going with the Dolphins. Go Dolphins.
Well, they still look the same, and screw them. But this was hard for me because I don't know who the Dolphins are really, and they did look good those first couple games, and they've gotten drubbed the next couple. I think the magic's worn off of the Dan Campbell experiment a little bit here. I mean, I think that whole new rah-rah, just a different approach, only lasts for so long. It kind of reminds me of Mike Singletary a little bit from a few years back.
No, sure.
So that's how I'm kind of feeling about that. Plus, Philly's won three of their last four. Their only loss during that time was to Carolina. And they're starting to run the ball, which is, I think, what they really need to do. I think that's what makes that Philly offense go. You know, the dirty little secret about the Miami Dolphins, even with the $114 million man in the middle on that defensive line, they're 31st in the league stopping the run. I think the Eagles are going to be able to run the ball in this game and take it home. But the thing is, Miami has more talent. So if they just end up putting it together for a day and winning this game, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, and that's one of the things about Miami. I mean, you said you didn't know how long that rah-rah attitude from the coaching standpoint was going to come. I don't know if he's too over the top with the rah-rah, so I don't think he's actually going to burn them out. They've been through so much in a first half of a season with all the acquisitions they had in the offseason, then the coach firing, which they probably should have left him across the pond. But I think they're still trying to figure out who exactly they are with all this new talent that they have. And so I think these next 2 to 3 games will kind of tell us more about who Miami is.
Right on, right on. All right, well, moving on to, this was a difficult game for me. New Orleans Saints on the road versus the Washington Redskins.
Not a difficult pick for me. I'm going Saints all the way. Even though it is on the road, you're seeing a Saints team that it feels like they're starting to get things together. But and really, Washington, not so much. I haven't. This is a team where I really don't know their identity. And yes, they're competing for an open NFC East. But I think this is going to be the time of year where you start to see this come down to a 2-team battle in the NFC East. And the Saints are going to help put the nail in the coffin for Washington. 84% user consensus with the Saints.
Wow.
And this is my first road pick of the week. Going New Orleans.
Whoa, wow. Are you serious? The first one?
First one.
Dang, dude. I guess, this would only be my second.
You know, Brandon, I'm kind of with you. I think that NFC East battle is going to come down to two teams, and Washington's not going to be one of them.
No.
And New Orleans is actually on a roll, and I think when their offense and Drew Brees start kind of catching some steam, I think their defense feeds off it a little bit, and they're a much different team right now than when I saw them play the first 2 to 3 weeks of the season. So I think they're going to win this game on the road.
The Saints have me wondering if they might be the second best team in that division, because the way Atlanta's been playing, I'm not so sure that they are the second best team.
I actually think they are. I think Atlanta, I think Adam Mude said this earlier on in the season, it's only a matter of time before they fall off the map, and I think that's clearly happened.
Yeah. I mean, it just felt like that's where that team was, but man, that New Orleans defense is awful. It is so bad. It hurts my eyes to watch. I mean, they really are putrid, with a capital putrid. Like, it's maybe the worst in the league. But Drew Brees has been on fire, and that's the one thing. Now, the thing about Washington is nothing about him is putrid. Nothing about them is great. They're just kind of that even-keel team. So you got one team with one great side of the ball, one awful side of the ball, and then another team that's just kind of, eh. And this was really hard for me to pick, but I'm going New Orleans just because I think there's one special player in this game, and it's Drew Brees, and I think he'll just be the difference maker. But I don't feel good about it. I don't have that consensus that's on there. That feels a little off to me.
I just don't think Captain Kirk can keep up with Drew Brees in the end of the day. And I don't think they're going to score a lot of points. I think New Orleans is going to score at least 30.
Yeah. All right, guys, so moving on to Detroit at Green Bay. Jared, when you sat down at the table, you had the same comment that kind of went through my head when I looked at this. It was, hey, this could actually – oh, it's in Lambeau.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brandon, was that kind of how you felt about this too, or what are you thinking here?
Well, I was kind of wondering why the NFL couldn't schedule another road game against the Patriots maybe this week. You know, kind of go into that flex scheduling where you can maybe swap out a couple teams and then just send the Packers – into New England and play at Gillette Stadium this week, because I want to see the Packers go on the road again against an undefeated opponent. But instead, they go back home, which makes this an easy pick. And only 2% with the Lions. I believe some of their parents have moved over and are going for the Packers this week. 98% with the Packers.
Is that the lowest ever for a team?
I haven't seen it lower than. Wow. I haven't seen it that low yet this season.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, but not often. So, Jared, you're among the 2%?
No, I'm definitely not. You know, you saw in the Packer game, these guys are at each other's throats right now. It's not good. But I think this is exactly what they need to try to get their locker room back together is an easy win against Detroit. So I don't know what to make about this Green Bay team. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has nobody that can get open whatsoever. Nobody's open any of the time. They're struggling running the ball. Their defense has holes in it all over the place. And like I said, the tension's high, but they need a game like this to try and figure it out, because if it gets any worse, I think they're going to find themselves kind of in a crappy place before the playoffs start.
Yeah, you know, Green Bay, they've definitely taken their lumps a little bit the last 2 weeks, but again, they've faced great competition on the road, and so that doesn't make me feel any more down on them. Now, as far as receivers getting open or not, I mean, I felt like Randall Cobb played a pretty good game last game. He was making a lot of big catches and was doing pretty well, but the elephant in the room literally is Eddie Lacy, and I mean, he's slow because he's fat.
James Starks is starting in place of him.
Exactly. And I think that's good for their offense right now. The one thing I did wonder about is Detroit fired their president and their GM this last week during the bye week. And, you know, sometimes you see that team just do well after change, you know, for no reason other than just change itself. And in this bizarro world of NFL football that we find ourselves in this year, this is probably going to be that game where Detroit wins it. I'm picking Green Bay, but I'm going to be mad.
Detroit doesn't have the talent to do something like that. They just don't.
No, the thing is that Detroit, I thought they might have a bounce back game after they fired their offensive coordinator earlier this year. That didn't happen. You've seen almost every other team bounce back with a victory after somebody's been fired. And the Detroit Lions couldn't even do that this year. They seemingly are the one team that there's nothing that they can do to get a win.
Well, I guess
all
it's,
good points.
I guess it's tough for a corpse to bounce back. I mean, I mean, Jim Caldwell is the Walking Dead, and it just
he's a good coordinator, just not a good head coach.
Yeah, and that's it. So okay, Green Bay.
All right, guys. Well, before we get into the Cowboys game, I just want to mention something. I think for anyone who watched football this last weekend, it's pretty obvious we're getting into Movember. Just look at Cowboys quarterback Matt Cassel. If you don't know what Movember is, it's the month where guys grow mustaches to raise awareness and money for men's health issues. Whether or not you participate in Movember, you should check out Harry's, the official razor partner of Movember. And I've been enjoying this close, comfortable shave I've been getting from Harry's so far. I broke out a new blade the other day. I love the foaming shave gel. You know, it smells good. It hydrates your skin. I've been really surprised at the high quality of products that you get for the price you pay. Adam, I generally tend to shave in the shower, and I'm always dropping my razors like onto the shower floor. And every time I do it, it shatters into several pieces. And I noticed with the Harry's blade when I dropped it, it's only happened to me once, but that thing stayed together. So I'm convinced that these are good, solid products.
I'm impressed with your durability testing. Like that's good work by you. I hadn't gotten to that extreme yet. I went with the Macaulay Culkin test this last week, and I tried the aftershave on the neck area.
Nice.
And now I didn't scream like Macaulay, so that was good. But again, pleasant smelling. The person I was hanging out with, they enjoyed that, so that was nice. It was good for my deal. I'll just put it that way. So I'm appreciative to Harry's. They're helped me up my game. And because I used to just go, you know, the beard trimmer on the neck, which was, you know, good enough. But I mean, this really gets me, you know, nice and cleaned up, and it's much smoother. And like I said, I don't think it can be understated how good the product smell. Like that's the cool part about it.
Well, getting started with Harry's couldn't be easier. Over 1 million guys have made the switch to Harry's. The website's streamlined and easy to use. It takes less than 30 seconds to place an order. They have great customer service, and Harry's starter set is an amazing deal. With our code Seahawks, you can get it for just $10. It includes a razor handle, 3 blade cartridges, and your choice of shaving cream or foaming shave gel, and it ships right to your door for free.
Absolutely. I think I'm going to be trying that the shaving cream next. I mean, not that I've ever used that before, but if it's anything as good as what I've experienced so far, I'm sure it'll be a really cool deal.
So go to harrys.com right now as a special offer. For our fans, Harry's will give you $5 off your first order with code Seahawks. That's HARRYS.com. Enter code Seahawks.
Right on. Well, that takes us into the terrible mustache taking on famous Jameis. So Dallas versus Tampa Bay. Jared, Tampa, that could be the team out of the NFC, that wild card team out of the NFC South there. That second
anybody
best
could be the wild card team out of there. Who knows about Tampa Bay, but who knows about with Dallas, with the Castle Stash? I mean, I'm going Tampa Bay because they're at home, and I don't believe in Dallas. I just don't, man. I don't know about – I'm not going to watch this game.
He's out, Brandon.
I don't care.
All right, I mean, on the direct ticket, are you tuning in to watch the suddenly frisky Tampa Bay Buccaneers, even though they lost last week to the Giants? But I think they've kind of acquitted themselves well over the year to this point.
No chance I tune into this game. No chance. The Cowboys have lost 6 straight games now. 6 straight. And when you're on that kind of a roll, I mean, they've been getting close, but as I said in our last pod, Adam, as long as that stash remains with that team, they're not going to win games. And by stash, I mean, I'm of course talking about Greg Hardy. So I want those guys to continue to lose, and I'll be rooting for them to lose this week against the Buccaneers. Among users of the Pick'em League, it's kind of a coin flip. 48%
wow.
going with the Bucs, 52% with the Cowboys.
Wow.
I'm going Tampa Bay, though.
Count me in the minority, because I'm taking Tampa Bay on this one. Look, I don't know if you guys knew, but Dez hurt his knee. Uh-huh. It's still questionable whether he's going to play. Sean Lee will not be playing. You know, he's injured yet again, another concussion. I don't know if you guys knew, but Tony Romo's still hurt, too. And that's bad for their deal. But look, the Cowboys are really dinged up. They're going to be on the road. And I like Tampa in this game. Now, did you guys see Greg Hardy's little pity party he tried to throw himself on his Twitter thing?
No, I did not. I'm not on Twitter.
Well, I'm not on the Twitter. I just saw the story in the headline. He had rewrote his little describe yourself section. You know, it's like, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty, and nobody knows anything, and you know, it was the dude is a
catfish
idiot.
It's almost like he has no remorse for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like he thinks it didn't
but
even happen.
Even if he did come out and act like he genuinely apologized, it wouldn't be genuine, because he really hasn't done it yet.
To
say how bad this has really gotten for me, I couldn't even root for Dallas when they were playing you guys.
Yeah,
and I really wanted to, but then I see Greg Hardy, and I'm like, piece of
catfish.
Yeah,
that's all you are. He's just walking scum, man. Sorry, I hate that guy. I really do, and I don't hate anybody.
Yeah, I mean, last week when they were playing Philly, the last play of the game, Hardy was right there, and he could have stripped the ball out of Bradford's hands. I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he didn't make the game-winning plays.
Oh, so glad.
It's bad for my
picks.
It's bad for humanity.
It's worse for humanity.
When he does well.
And it's like he lives in a different reality, and it's so weird to me. Like, I think you guys would both agree that Ray Rice has come out and been way more sincere about...
Oh,
yeah, as far as
totally.
His interviews and everything go, yeah, I mean, you get the sense that he's actually remorseful in what he did.
Yeah, and I don't think Chica's sticking around, especially for this long, and marrying the guy if he wasn't, you know, truly making changes and working on himself and trying harder. Nobody gets that sense from Greg Hardy.
No, I feel like Ray Rice acted out of character when he did that. That's the sense that I got from it. But with Hardy, you think that he's going to do this again. Mm-hmm. And if they kicked him out of the NFL, that'd probably be the next thing he did.
My gut feeling, if they kicked him out of the NFL like they should, he would be one cell down from Lawrence Phillips like pretty yeah. dang quickly.
That's where he should be already yeah. is the thing. Yeah.
But this suspension is a whole other thing. The fact that that 10-game suspension didn't get held, I mean, come on.
Yeah, and the NFL itself had those photos.
Yeah.
And somehow that suspension didn't get upheld to 10 games.
Yeah, unbelievable.
All right, moving on to Carolina Panthers taking on Super Mariota and the Tennessee Titans in Tennessee. Man, Cam is pretty super this year. I mean, he's just willing this team along. I'm impressed. I'm taking Carolina here.
I really want to take Tennessee here because I feel like just well, like you mentioned before, Adam, with maybe wanting to go Lions and maybe not being surprised just at how bizarro yeah. this year has gone. It kind of feels like about the time where some of these undefeated teams start to drop off and doing it, and they'll do it against teams that you really don't expect.
Yeah.
And to me, that would be the Titans at home playing Carolina. I'm on the fence of whether I'm going to do it. 6% going with Tennessee. I'm going with the home team, Tennessee All Titans.
Right. How far are you back in the picks right now, Brandon?
Far enough to make that pick.
I need help.
Okay. I am so glad you're going with that because, you know, I agree. I think all these undefeated teams are going to start to fall at some point, and I think Carolina's no different. I think they're going to do it, but not this week. I mean, at least even if Cam goes out there and throws up a giant goose egg, their defense is good enough against a rookie quarterback to not lose this game under any circumstances. So I'm in a tough one, Brandon. I'm going Carolina.
It is
the thing is I think this is going to be the morning game that I watch the and
wow.
and that'll give me a really strong rooting interest for Tennessee.
Okay.
I love watching Cam Newton play, man. That he's making some throws that you're just like, whoo, like that touchdown.
Oh, he's been great this year.
Yeah. No, he's played pretty well. You know, speaking of quarterbacks who play pretty well, Mariota on pace to break the rookie single season touchdown mark held by
Russell Wilson.
And?
Peyton Manning.
Exactly. Yes. Well done, fellas. I knew that'd be right.
Do you think he stays healthy long enough to make it through it?
Yeah, I think he's kind of turned that corner.
Okay.
Yeah, on the health. I mean, he's a young guy. He can bounce back pretty easy.
He doesn't deserve that record.
What are you talking about? What part of his personality isn't in the same class?
I just don't like the guy.
He's just as classy as Peyton
and
Russell.
You don't like the Dolphins for no apparent reason.
Yes, I do, Dan Marino.
He's a classy guy, and he does
no,
really good work. He's a great humanitarian.
He's a faking baker. Like he's his skin
Look
color
at
is just his
skin color.
No, he grew
Come
up
on.
In Hawaii.
I don't
he's
care.
He's Hawaiian.
Dan Marino was in Florida.
No, Dan Marino grew up in Pennsylvania.
But he lived in Florida.
Yeah.
He lived where the sun shines.
Yeah, you know, his soul is just as
whatever.
Fake as his skin color. I don't buy Dan
Mariota
Marino.
Mariota sucks.
Yeah, whatever.
When you live and play in Florida, Adam, you're going to get a tan.
Yeah.
Still?
Yeah.
Still?
So he's an active outdoors guy.
I think him and Tan Mom ought to hook up someday. All right. Moving on, dude. A very interesting
Dolphins.
Game. Actually, before we get into this game, let's talk about the beer. So we got the Groomer, which I mentioned earlier, by Byron Brewery here in Missoula, Montana. It is 5.3 alcohol percent by volume. So not one of those that just will totally, you know, mess you up hardcore. But, you know, as far as the winter beers, a lot of the winter beers can get a little too thick for me, mm-hmm. Brandon. And this one's still easy to drink. For me, like it's still fairly smooth. And so the Baron Groomer, originally brewed in the winter of 2011 to help Snow Bowl commemorate 50 years in business, Byron celebrated their 25th anniversary in 2012. This special brew was intended to have a limited run. However, by popular demand, Byron is offering Groomer for yet another ski season. The dark Wintersmarzen is brewed with malt specific to this style and two kinds of German hops. Tradition? From the Hallertau region of Bavaria and Tanang from Tahang.
You should stop. I'm going to throw in the towel.
No. It's long, too.
I love listening to him struggle.
I'm Rocky and you're Apollo Creed right now, and I'm standing there with the towel in my hand, Adam.
Do it.
I don't care. I got to get done. It's from the Bavarian area of Swabia. Groomer's deco. Yeah, it's done. We're done. It's cold fermented. I'll tell you that much. And in other words, Groomer is a smooth, well-balanced treat to enjoy at the end of a day of the slopes. It is not recommended that you drink while you are skiing or snowboarding. You might spill your beer. So, you know, I'm a little mad at Byron for putting in all those really, really hard words. That
paid off at the end, though.
In the middle.
They're genuinely from Germany, though.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, Jürgen, the owner of the brewery from Germany, it has 25 IBUs. So take that.
That's not a lot of IBUs when it comes to down to it. But I actually, no. For a winter beer, I do like this one. Normally, some of them are a little bit too caramely for me, but this one, not so much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, winter beers tend to get a little bit sweet.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I don't really care for them. I used to really like them, but this is a good one because it's a little more mild in the sweetness area. Like it in all its German words.
Yep. Okay. And don't spill your beer while skiing and drinking, people. All right, moving on to a difficult game. Maybe the game of the week.
I think so. This is the best.
Nah, this isn't the game of the week. We know what the game of the week is, but this is a really good one. Minnesota versus the Oakland Raiders in Oakland. Brandon, we saw the Oakland Raiders go down last week, but they were in it to win it.
They were, and this is another coin flip game among users. 49% with the Raiders, 51% with the Vikings. And that's why I think you're tempted to call this the game of the week, because really these are two up-and-coming teams. I don't know if Teddy Bridgewater on the recovery water, because cleared concussion protocol this week, and mm-hmm. that was a little bit shocking after kind of seeing him take a nap on the turf. That was kind of a scary moment for Teddy.
Teddy's lazy. Just taking naps in the middle of the game.
He's on the safety raft now.
Yeah,
I'm starting to get on the Oakland bandwagon here. I've kind of been picking against him. And maybe this is the time of year where I need to jump on board. So I'm going Oakland. They're the home team. It's kind of a coin flip. And that's why I like them at home.
You know, in that draft class, you have who? Manziel, Bortles, Bridgewater, and Carr, right?
Yep.
Those are basically the main four.
These are your two, right?
Yeah, these are the two best ones out of that class. But I think ultimately Carr is going to be the better quarterback. He's got a better arm. He takes more chances, which you like that, with a guy who's going to be smart. He's still figuring out the league, but I like everywhere that he's been going this year. And I'm picking him. I think it's going to be a really close game, and I don't feel good about the pick, but I like what Oakland is doing. And last week when I watched them play, this is a different team than I've seen in a lot of years now. I mean, this team doesn't even believe that they can lose a game. Throughout that entire game, you never think that they feel like they're out of it. And I think Carr's become a pretty good leader on that team. And, you know, Del Rio's doing as much as he can as a coach, you know, but I think Oakland wins this game at home.
This was tough. I mean, because as good as Derek Carr is, that defense is awful. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're in New Orleans range. I mean, really. I mean, honestly, they're even worse in New Orleans when it comes to defending the pass. 32nd in the league. I mean, they're atrocious.
Charles Woodson's really banged up.
He's hurt, but he's still tied for league lead in picks.
Well, yeah, he's not going to get any in these next couple weeks.
Well, no, but I mean, just the idea of that is amazing mm-hmm. at 30, what,
well,
nine?
He got Peyton twice.
Yeah, yeah. So, but the thing is that's not what the Vikings do. They're not a throw first offense. I mean, it all revolves around Adrian Peterson. They're 30th in the league throwing the ball. So I don't see them being able to really take advantage of that secondary the way they need to. And now the thing is Minnesota's defense is actually really good.
It is.
I mean, everybody's been kind of sleeping on that, but I look at the matchup of Amari Cooper against Terrence Newman and Michael Crabtree against Xavier Rhodes. And I think that's a win for the Raiders, especially with Derek Carr pitching and catching that. I like the Raiders in this game. I think Minnesota will put up a fight. But I think you're right about these being the two best quarterbacks, Jared. And yeah. I think you all are also right that Derek Carr has a more natural thrower of the football.
Yeah.
Than Bridgewater.
And he's got the attitude. He's kind of fearless out there, but he's got the confidence to know that he can make these throws.
Oh, and I think Bridgewater is just as fearless. I just don't think he's as talented as a thrower.
Yeah.
When they talk about arm talent, just watch these two guys throw in this game and you'll see the difference. Not that Teddy's bad. I think Teddy's very, very good.
Oh, yeah.
But he has a physical ceiling that Derek Carr doesn't have. But
when you got to watch out for Oakland's play action game too, because their running game has been really good, and Carr can throw on the run very, very well, way better than I thought he would have been able to already.
Not that it has any impact on this game, but it does have impact on my psyche. Is that game
well,
that the Vikings came to the Bay Area and played San Francisco, and just got rolled by San Francisco in their home opener. And we've seen how bad San Francisco is. And it sticks with me that they're coming back to the Bay Area now and taking
on the
Raiders.
That was the first game of the year. That's a good point, though. Maybe okay. Maybe they don't play well in the Bay.
Maybe. Right, maybe.
So we're all taking the Raiders there. Interesting.
Yeah. That is interesting. I almost feel tempted to switch to the Vikings because I feel like that shouldn't be as much of a landslide for all three of us to pick.
I think you should do it.
Okay. I did it.
Yeah.
Peer pressure. Look, here's the thing. Minnesota wins this game. I'm not shocked.
No, it's going to be a good game because these two teams, like you said, they're two young up-and-coming teams that are still kind of forming, but they have good franchise quarterbacks. It's going to be a good game.
Yeah. Plus, as far as afternoon games go, I have a much easier time watching the Vikings and rooting for them than any of the other games on this afternoon schedule. So
dude, the Broncos play, Brandon. The Broncos play.
I don't have a rooting interest in that game. I mean, they're
gonna, I do.
I mean, I'm rooting against you, Jared. But I.
you guys.
Well, here's the thing. I am rooting for Minnesota to lose this game because it will be good for our playoff situation. So go Oakland. Now let's talk about winners, Brandon, from this last week. So it's not us talking about us for a little while, because we are clearly not the winners from this last week.
No, there were only two winners this week, and surprised that there were as many people getting 100 points as there were. Most people, there were quite a few people that got 100, but only two people that got 140, and those scores belong to Mr. Bomar and DP. Tomasini. So there you go, 140 points. Right. Email us at gohawks@seahawkerspodcast.com, and I will send you your prize. And then looking at the Patron League, the Seahawkers Podcast Patron League, you can go to patreon.com/Seahawkers Podcast to be a part of that. A lot of people with 90 points, including me. I'm at the top in that league, guys. I scored more points than both of you this week. And six of us with 90 points. I can't really pick a winner because so many of us had 90. And then going back to week eight, I think so many people had 150. So I think I'm going to have to roll over the prize in the Patron League to next week.
Okay. Yeah, maybe if it's over five people who win, we roll it over. Is that our rule we're going
to
make here?
I think that might be a good rule of thumb. I don't want to have to go back more than 2 weeks. To try and find a winner is the thing. So I think that starts to get tedious. And it really shows that there is no clear winner. So the Blue Wave is on a roll at the top of the Patron League. And then Bald Eagles and Beer continues to dominate with the overall score of 1180.
Wow. Someone's got to bring that person down.
Bald Eagles and Beer, I wonder... I'd have to look and see what they had this last week. They must have hit their 10.
They probably got 100.
Who does well this last week? Who?
I don't know, man. But it don't make no sense. I'll tell you that much. All right. Another thing that would make no sense if somebody picks the New York Football Giants in this game because the New England Patriots come to town. And Jared, what do you think about the Genghis here in the Big Apple?
Genghis has got the same look in his eye he did week one when he defied the rest of the NFL and said, suck it, I'm playing.
Where's the league office located?
I don't know.
Is it located in New York City?
Either way, man, Tom Brady is not showing any signs of wanting to lose a game, especially now in New York City. So the Giants just can't compete. And even though Jason Pierre-Paul has got that messed up finger hand that people are going to be looking at the whole time, probably be a little distracted, Genghis Tom doesn't care.
No.
Patriots.
The thing is, I see a lot of people getting cute this week, Adam, with this Patriots-Giants pick. A lot of people, 17% going with the Giants, which is high for a Patriots team that's undefeated. Now, they are on the road. But I think people are just giving the Giants a little bit too much credit based on their Super Bowl reputation for winning over the Patriots. Yeah, the Patriots being down a running back isn't going to matter. It's Genghis Tom. This is he's on a mission, and he's in New York, and the Patriots will beat the Giants. I'm going Patriots.
Yeah.
I think they destroy him, actually.
I think Deion Lewis is out. They lost him. I think The Dolphins just cut Jonas Gray, so I wouldn't be surprised if you see them pick him back up and plug him in, and he'll be awesome like they do with everybody. Like they drink the magic elixir from the cup of Christ or something that Bill Belichick has hidden in the Patriots facility. I don't know what it is. Everybody they bring in, they're just automatically awesome. It doesn't matter. I mean, look at LeGarrette Blount. I mean, he back and forth between Pittsburgh and different places.
Yep, goes back, he's great.
And then he goes back and he's good. Yeah, it's bizarre, but you know Tom Brady wants to send a message in New York City. Mm-hmm. You know he does. There's no way. And this isn't a Super Bowl either. Yeah. Eli Manning can't win this.
Especially losing those last two Super Bowls in New York. This has the makings of a New England blowout.
Yeah. So, New England. All right. Jared, your beloved Denver Broncos coming off a loss this last week. Take on the Kansas City Chiefs at home. This kind of feels easy.
Well, it is. I mean, I think all of us Broncos fans were on cloud nine after that Packers win. But then we came back and we played Indianapolis, and our offense was exactly the same. We completely went away from the run game way too early, even though we had some lanes to run through. And Adam, I told you this a few weeks ago. I was like, if we have one game where our defense looks average, we're going to lose. That's exactly what happened. I mean, in our defense, I'm not trying to take anything away from Indianapolis. Their last four games, okay, they lost to New England 34-27. They lost to New Orleans 27-21. They lost to Carolina 29-26. So they have been very, very close to beating some really good teams. And they finally did it. Granted, they didn't get our best effort. But once again, a very pedestrian passing defense shows exactly what our passing offense is. And that's mediocre on a good day. You know, we tore Green Bay apart because they just weren't ready to play on defense. But we come against a very average at best defense, and we still cannot move the ball on offense. But we're still going to beat Kansas City at home.
Yeah, I'm Broncos on this one all the way. I will be rooting against Jared, but to pick the Chiefs would be to pick among the 7%. I just don't see it. I don't see this Broncos defense having two kind of average games in a row. Going Denver.
I think this is going to be a close game, to be honest. I think we could be one turnover away from losing this game because
it's
a divisional game. The Chiefs always play us tough, especially at home. And their defense is going to stifle our offense. So it's going to be a matter of who plays defense better, and hopefully it's us this week.
Broncos can have an average game on defense this week, and you guys will still win. I mean, it's just Kansas City's not that great. I'm not sold of their big shellacking in London in their last game.
That was all turnovers. They were dealing with short fields that whole game. Yeah. Special team that game against the Lions. The Lions' special teams was terrible. They fired their offensive coordinator, but it looked like the special teams coach didn't even make the trip because it was that bad for the Lions, and that's why the Chiefs dominated there.
Yeah, it's exactly my thought process. I wasn't sold on that. I just don't think this Chiefs team is great. And look,
but neither is our offense.
That was the thing that I was most disappointed in that Colts game was the running game, because 28th in the league, you know, this week. I can't recall what you were coming into that game. I still thought you'd be able to run the ball a little bit on these guys.
Well, we should have at least tried. We went away. We got down 17-0 and almost completely went away from it. And then Manning goes, throws two picks, and it's just can't recover from that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was kind of funny. We go into the fourth quarter. I was like, one of these two quarterbacks is going to throw a ghastly pick.
Oh, I was hoping to God it was going to be Andrew Luck.
it was Peyton. It cost the team the game.
Well, and the thing that was most frustrating about it was, you know, Elway last year said, well, I want our team to go down kicking and screaming. And it literally did that. I was frankly embarrassed with the penalties we had late in the game and how we acted towards losing. It was kind of embarrassing.
That Talib thing was really bad.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty obvious he did it on purpose. I don't think it's as bad as everybody's making it. The one game suspension, yes, of course.
Yeah, but, no, I mean, that's when I say really bad, one
game
suspension.
The way they acted, I don't know. We need to handle losing better than that. So that's why I'm actually very, when we lost that game, I was like, thank God.
Yeah. The worst thing that I heard from Talib was him actually putting it on the player that he gouged his eye out. The fact that Talib was saying that he made it look like he got hit by or got in like a 17 car pileup.
Yeah,
and dude, you just gouged his eye. Don't make it on him. This was on you.
And the camera was looking right
at it. Yeah.
I mean,
well, that's the thing. When I said it was really bad, like, one game suspension feels exactly right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That feels exactly right. Like, it wasn't, I mean,
you give him
he didn't
two
kill
for the stupidity. I don't care.
He didn't kill a kitten on the field. You know what I mean? Like, he poked, but I mean, it was dirty. That was Bush League. That's Bush League.
You never want to see your players do that. It's just,
no.
Don't act like a 10-year-old.
No, like, why? Like, I don't even know how that crosses your mind.
No. I'm just hoping we got this
like,
out of
Jared,
our way.
Jared, you make me angry on a lot of days, and I've never thought to just go like, three stooges right in your eye.
I'll poke your eye out.
Yeah, like, that's never occurred to me.
But we did get this loss out of the way, because we got New England coming up in a few weeks. We got Kansas City and then the Bears and then New England, so I'm glad this is
got a couple tune-ups. All right. Well, speaking of tune-ups, we take on the Arizona Cardinals at home. I know Jared will disagree with that, but we went over it in the regular pod, Brandon. I actually, the more I thought about it, the more I liked this matchup. I think this is going to be one of those turning point games for this team. I think we get them by double digits.
Well, one of the things I was really kind of surprised to see was the user consensus in this game and the Seahawks mm-hmm. being so dominant at home, especially in primetime games. Yet, 58% going with the Cardinals. They're buying the Cardinals going into this game, and the fact that they've dominated some weaker opponents this year, I think people are a little bit fooled. And 42% with the Seahawks to where we are at, Adam.
I too am in the majority.
I knew you would be.
You guys are surprised, but I mean,
but you're the type of guy that would be thrown off by a team that's beaten teams with a combined record of 24 and 39.
I don't really care about the records. This is what I'm looking at. I'm looking at Carson Palmer and how this can be a matchup problem for you guys. I mean, you guys used to have four really good people in the secondary as far as coverage goes. Now you have two. Carson Palmer can exploit a weakness when 50% of your secondary is mediocre at best in coverage. If they can start out fast, because you guys do not start out fast. You guys, frankly, don't score points until the very end of the fourth quarter. If they can start out fast, if they can be up, you know, 10 to 14 points by the end of the third quarter, I think there is a very legitimate chance that the Arizona Cardinals can win this game. Matter of fact, I think they're going to.
What, is Cam Chancellor the guy who's a pass coverage liability, I'm guessing, out of the...
Yeah, because it's not Earl and it's not Sherman.
Okay, right. It's obviously not Earl and Sherman.
But I think Cam's just fine. He's finally gotten back up to speed. I think you saw him struggle early after missing all of camp and, you know, a couple games of the season. Sure, he's going to struggle a little early. I think he's fine now. Kerry Williams...
Maybe you guys haven't really been tested yet.
I mean...
What do you mean really?
We haven't been tested yet? We have played... Two teams that have been undefeated by the time that we got there. Their combined record of all the teams
and
that we played
lost to them.
Are 35 and 30. We barely lost to them.
I get all the stats.
I know. I'm sorry to bother you with facts, logic, and reason, but the thing is that we have actually played much stronger opponents than the Arizona Cardinals, and we actually were up on them going into the fourth quarter late. And if it weren't for a blown coverage in the Carolina game, that's easily a win. But the point is that Arizona, the two times they've actually gone up against an opponent, with one with a winning record and one with just a not losing record in the Rams, they've lost. They're
sure,
not a good team.
But it's a divisional game, and divisional games are always tough.
And the thing is that what they need to do to be successful is run the football. And in their two losses, they haven't run the football successfully. We're actually a very good run defense team compared to anything that they've seen. Six out of their eight opponents are in the bottom 12 in rushing defense.
Here, I want to stop you, Adam. I want to stop you before you talk Jared too much into changing his mind, because I think we need a win over Jared this week. And because we do have so many facts to actually back up our opinion here, I don't want to give that all away to Jared. So let him have the Cardinals. We'll take the Seahawks, and let's move on to Monday night.
So moving on to the Monday night game, Houston.
Don't forget, I picked more games right by the Seahawks than you guys have this year.
So far. So Houston.
Yeah, the law of averages are about to come back and bite you there, Jared.
I doubt it.
I'm sure you do. Houston goes on the road to the Cincinnati Bengals. This seems like an easy one. I wish we had a better game to finish up.
This game sucks.
The end of this. I mean, I know you love the Houston Texans so much, Brandon, but I mean, I know every Houston fan feels like they're in the race to win the AFC South, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's really going to depend on what we see from the Colts and Matt Hasselbeck, but They're not going to lose this week because, well, they have a bye. So the Colts are going to be in a pretty solid lead in that division. I think the Texans are going to be 3-6 after taking on the Bengals. To go on the road and play an undefeated team, I just don't see it happening for the Texans. And yeah, it disappoints me, as you can tell. 95%. Only 5% with the Texans. I can't even bring myself to be with those guys going Cincinnati.
Well, I know I don't have to obligate my Monday night to watch a football game.
No.
I think that instead of picking a winner or a loser, we should pick to see who comes closer to how much Cincinnati will win by.
I wonder, we should have looked up the spread and picked against the spread on this game just to make it interesting.
This is an obvious game to pick. I mean, I'm going with Cincinnati, but we should pick by how much just to make it semi-interesting.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go Cincy by 17.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
I'm going 21. That's what I'm going to pick.
All right, I'm going 11.
I like it. There's been some weird scores this year with the new extra point stuff.
That's like betting a dollar on the Price is Right.
Yeah. 21-10. It's going to be the Bengals aren't going to put that many points on the board. I'm going 21-10.
Okay. Okay. I like it. Tyler Eifert gets all three touchdowns.
Yep. Exactly.
Dude, he kind of feels like a
touchdown machine this year.
Yeah. Poor man's Gronk this year, right? I mean, I like the way he's playing. Bengals are legit. I'll be real interesting to see, or interesting. I'll be really interested to see.
You won't be interesting.
Never. but I'll keep trying. but I'll be really interested to see what they do in the playoffs. I mean, this is, if there was ever a year for Marvin Lewis to get over the hump, Andy Dalton to get over the hump, all that, I mean, doesn't this feel like it?
No. Hey,
well, they'll have a first round bye, but that just means that they could be taking on a tough opponent in the first round, too. So at least they won't be out in the wild card round, though.
So if the Cincinnati Bengals finish undefeated and the New England Patriots finish...
New England?
Well,
had a few beers. The New England Patriots finish undefeated. What's the tiebreaker there? How does that work for number one seed?
Points, maybe?
Yeah.
There is a tiebreaker involved.
They'd do some sort of math.
Do you think Andy Dalton and the Genghis would have like a death match? Like,
I'd go Tom Brady, man. He just glared Andy Dalton and he would shrivel up into nothingness.
Yeah.
I say you put the two coaches in a ring together and entertaining.
You know the Dark Lord has taken down Marvin Lewis.
Oh yeah, no, he would because he's gonna play dirty
out of his fingers and shit. Yeah,
talk about eye gouging. That's gonna happen.
Yeah. I'd take Belichick any day.
Oh yeah, the Dark Lord every time. All right, I had one story I wanted to talk about now that we're done with the picks. This the ludicrousness of this is just off the charts for me, and this goes for one of the Raiders players, backup linebacker Ray Armstrong. Apparently, he was coming down the tunnel and fired up, you know, because, I mean, we all seen the guys when they're coming out of the locker room. They're grabbing each other by the helmet and smacking each other around, and they're yelling, they're hooping, they're hollering, right? Apparently, he looked at a police dog, which was there, that was it going and sniffing for bombs on its day off with its officer. And basically, Ray apparently started beating his chest and barking at it like a dog. And started talking some smack, and then a couple other people did too. Well, unfortunately for him, well, it's not unfortunate because this is stupid, and he is being investigated for a third-degree felony for taunting a police dog. They're considering charging him with a felony for beating his chest and barking at a dog.
Whatever happened to free speech? You should be allowed to do that, correct?
That had been any other living creature on the planet, like another child. Let's say there was a child in the hallway there when he happened to be coming down, and he beat his chest and barked like a dog at that child. He would not be charged with a felony, and that's a human being.
Barking at a human being is not a crime.
And barking at a dog isn't a crime. Like, this is so stupid.
You're right. This is probably one of the dumbest things I have ever heard.
The maximum penalty, 7 years in prison and $15,000 fine.
Wow.
I have a feeling they'll probably just drop this because it's as stupid as it sounds.
I don't know. Here's what the chief had to say. Legally, he could have been arrested on the spot. We believe there was sufficient probable cause to make an arrest on the spot.
This is why you don't live in Oakland.
This was in Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's right.
And I listened to a little interview with Officer Maria Waltz, or Watts, and with her and talking about her dog. And like, she's like, the second he did it, I immediately reported this to my superior. And we're going to go ahead and, you know, we're going to take this all the way through. No, 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 no. Like, they're just being absurd. Wow. This is absurd.
Well, we live in a sensitive
taunting
society.
Taunting a dog.
We live in a sensitive society, and people like to blow things out of proportion. This is no different.
If he did this on the field to another player, it'd be a 15-yard penalty, not 7 years and a $15,000 fine. A joke show.
If he has to go to prison or do any sort of sentence for this, mm-hmm. I'm going to hold up a sign that says Bark for Ray Ray, and I would encourage everyone who thinks this is that stupid to do the same.
Bark for Ray Ray. I like it. It's got a ring, Jerry. It's got a ring. I think we can get her out now. Well, I guess with that, there's only two things left to say, and that's hooray football.
Hooray football.
And hooray beer.
Go Hawks.
Go Broncos.
And still go Hawks.